Hey friends, happy Friday. Welcome to my Friday Q&A session. Hope you've been having a great week. I've been having an awesome week. I'm doing some ministry down in Florida. I've been at a faith conference here in Sarasota for a couple of days, just filling up and fellowshipping with the brethren. And really good time with the Lord. Hey, in a moment, I want to jump into five questions. I'm actually beginning a new series all talking about prayer. What it means to pray, what it means to pray in the Spirit, how we pray and actually get results. So I'm going to do 5 3-minute questions in a moment on that. A couple of housekeeping things, as normal, one more than a couple. Please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel, our audio podcast, social media, all of those things. Probably the best way of keeping in touch with me is my weekly emails newsletter, which will be going out later today. Full of travel details, family news, fun projects, things I'm up to, thoughts, my blog, all that kind of good stuff. So there'll be a sign up link below you there. If you are in New England, do check out the churches that I'm involved in there: Sturbridge Worship Center, New England Fellowship, Berkshire Christian Fellowship. And I've got a lot of travel dates coming up as well. I'm ministering in Miami, Florida this weekend. In the month of March, I'm going to be in Ireland for a week. In the month of April, excuse me, I'm outdoors here, going to be in France and Belgium. In the month of May, taking a team to Ireland and doing a week's ministry there. If you're interested in coming to Ireland with us, check that out. And lastly, do look at my ministry school. You know, I've had an online ministry school for about 3 years, and something the Lord's been speaking to me about recently is making all this material available completely free of charge. So I'm going to be working on doing that. But, you know, it's just the heartbeat of God is that His word gets out. He doesn't care about money. He cares about people. And so I'm going to be making a transit and actually putting everything I do available free, and just want to serve and be a blessing and get the word of God out in front of people. Boom. So let me jump into some questions and let me put my sunglasses on because it is bright out here in Florida. If I can read them. You know, my first question today was simply this: what is prayer? And prayer is one of those things, it's a little bit hard to define. The Supreme Court of the US once said of another thing I won't mention that it's hard to define, but everybody knows it. And in a way, what is prayer? Yeah, I'm not sure there's any one verse, excuse me, in the Bible that really defines what prayer is. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is connecting with God. Prayer is that thing that happens when mankind stops interacting with himself, with fellow men and women, with creation, and in a way calls on the Lord. I love some of those passages that says, in those days men called upon the Lord. I want it to be said of me. In his lifetime, Graham Jones spent a lifetime calling upon the Lord. So what is prayer? Prayer is us reaching out to God. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is making our request known to God. Prayer is loving Him. Really, worship and prayer all interweave and are interwoven. Let me give you a great verse that will really help you. Luke 11 speaks so much about prayer. Luke 11 verse 1 says, it came to pass as he was praying, excuse the noise here, in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now, if you'll think about this, the disciples of Jesus were good Jewish boys living 2,000 years ago. And Jewish people, like all people, are not perfect. But boy, do they know how to pray. And, you know, there's a prayer for this, a prayer for that, a prayer for the other. And yet when they came around Jesus, they actually said, he knows how to pray in a way we don't. When he prays, things happen. When he prays, heaven touches earth. So what is prayer? Prayer is something we're all called to, of communion and fellowship with God. But I think there's a learning to pray. Andrew Murray wrote a book years ago, With Christ in the School of Prayer. I actually think our biggest challenge for most of us as believers is we need to unlearn prayer. We need to get rid of so much baggage and waffle that we've gathered over years. I used to catch myself years ago praying for the sick, and it's like somebody would come and, you know, talk to them like a normal person. you know, hello, what can I pray for you for, whatever. And then it's like I do this 2 minute monk, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring this dear person before you, and you'd look really good, God, if you'd come in here. It was just all religion. It was nice religion. And at times I will be around the denomination I grew up in and I'll hear people. It's like they instantly flip on it. You can say hello, you know, my name's Greg. Hi Greg, whoever you are. You know, insurance, whatever. And once they pray, they suddenly, oh, hallelujah, amen, bless God. Oh, Father, oh, yes, amen. And it's just religion. And there's so much of that we've got to unlearn. And we would be better. I believe we'd actually be better spending 5 hours preparing our heart to pray one little 5 second prayer than we would just going on and on and on and on and on saying a whole load of religious things. So what is prayer? Prayer in effect, let me put it this way, prayer is our need crying out to God, but it's faith that receives the answer. Selah. Boom. Question number two. I'm trying to keep these questions to 3 minutes each. So next question. Let me find that there. Does God always answer prayer? Now let me mess with you here a little bit here. You know, in nearly, it's funny, I actually wrote to somebody earlier today and said, are there any good Christian bookstores around here? I know that's not a thing. I know you can order anything off Amazon, but I actually like going in and seeing things that I might find inspiring. But I think I said to this person, I'm not looking for statues of angels or Christian t-shirts or fake leather Bible covers with a dove on it. I'm just looking for books. And does God always answer prayer? The reason I say that is so often, you know, you'll see in a Christian bookstore, if they still exist, little like fridge magnets or little tropes that say things like this. They'll say, God always answers prayer, but sometimes he says no. And that is not Bible. That is not scripture. Give me a scripture for that. Give me a scripture that says sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. You'll never know what God will do. So my answer to the question, does God always answer prayer, is actually yes, if we're talking about biblical prayer, if we're talking about prayer in faith, if we're talking about prayer based on the Word and led by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. John says in 1 John 3, this is the confidence we have if we ask anything according to his will. We know we have the petition we've desired of him. And I think anybody honestly looking at the life of Jesus would not see any unanswered prayer, would see Jesus moving in confidence. You see him come to the tomb of Lazarus, you know, big need, a need close to him, an emotional need, we'd call it a major miracle, having somebody raised from the dead. And you see Jesus come and his whole attitude is, Father, I know you hear me. You know, he said, I just said it for the sake of the hangers-on, the people here. You always hear me. And I believe we can come, we can learn, we can grow, we can come to that place in God where we pray and we know we have the petition we have asked of him, because that's what the book says. And there is a place in all of our life, I said in the previous question, at times the challenge with prayer is not learning something, it's unlearning something. And what so often happens, like the monkey with its hand in the jar of peanuts, is we are faced with some crossroads where we say, am I actually going to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I going to be a follower of the Word of God? Or am I going to hold on to my evangelical, Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, whatever, teaching viewpoint that contradicts the Bible? And I'm not knocking any denomination, any group. That's not my goal. Excuse me, banging things here. As I do that, my goal is to say, come back to it is written. And I believe there is a place in God. I think if we prayed a lot less and we actually spent the time in preparation before we ever prayed a prayer, I think we could get to the place where we see 100% results in our prayer. Quick story. I remember many years ago, there was a massive need in my family, like a health situation. And I went to the Lord about it immediately to pray. And I started praying. And to be honest, I was praying too fast. I knew what God's will was, because that's obvious. But I wasn't in a place of faith to receive the answer. Yeah? What most of us do, if we're honest, when we pray, is would we pray and we kind of hope God answers? And what faith does is faith receives the answer when it prays, Mark 11, 23 and 24. But you've got to be in that place. Jesus said, whosoever speaks to this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. The issue is not God. The issue is doubt in the heart. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Graham, don't pray yet. And he basically took me aside, told me to fast and pray for about a week. Not fast and pray about the need. Fast and pray to get rid of the doubt in having fellowship with him. Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things on earth will get obliterated in the light of his glory and grace. It's a rewrite. And after a week, I prayed about this need and instantly God said to me, it's done. And I was in the place of faith to receive God saying to me, it's done. And I walked away. You see, he who believes has entered into rest and has ceased from his own labors, as also Jesus did, Hebrews 3 and 4. And I knew that 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 I knew. I called this family member and said, don't care what the doctor says. Yeah, they're not the Alpha and the Omega. God has told me it's done. And it wasn't bravado or enthusiasm or, come on, let's fake it till we make it. I knew that I knew that I knew that that situation was done. And a couple of days later, reality caught up with that person's body and it's still done to this day. So does God always answer prayer? Yes, if it's the right type of prayer. Question number three, are there different ways of praying? Absolutely. The Bible talks in 1 Thessalonians about different kinds of prayer. I think there is a prayer, frankly, that's more about intimacy with God, about fellowship, about worship. There is a prayer of faith. There's a prayer of intercession. There are prayers of giving thanks. There are prayers of dedication. There are some times where it would be wrong to be praying, Lord, if it be your will. When God is really saying, guys, read my word if you want to know my will. There are other times when it's a really correct thing to be praying, Lord, I don't know what your will is. There are some things God's word defines God's will about. I don't need to pray about God's will concerning saving or healing or setting somebody free from bondage. I do need to pray God's will about, you know, should I move here? Should I move there? Should I visit this church and not do that? Should I speak at this conference? What are the things I should or should not do? So there are things where we say, Lord, I think I have some wisdom here, but I lay it on the altar and I want to hear yes. So different kinds of prayer. At times we're trying to pray the rules of engagement of one type of prayer in a different domain of our Christian life, and we're not seeing the results, frankly, that we wish. And that is actually a real problem in the body of Christ. So again, one thing I want to keep hammering here, something I learned years ago, is preparation for prayer in some sense is more important than prayer. Take it an afternoon off, get in a Bible, a good cup of coffee, a notepad, a pen, a bunch of blank paper, writing scriptures down, assembling your case, so to speak. You know, there's one image of a lawyer presenting a case, maybe before a jury in a courtroom case. There's another about the work, the preparation of that lawyer to rally that case. And it's not like you've got to trap God and fuck God, you said this and force that. But the thing is, faith comes by knowing and having those things settled in your heart when you pray. So yes, there are different kinds of prayer that we go through. Question number four, should we pray for healing? It's always I'm 98% sure of the answer to this, but the reason I say that, let me back up. Probably the first revelation I ever got concerning divine healing that really, really changed my life is about in 1987. I was in a really boring prayer meeting. It could have been me, but I think it was really boring. In Leominster in the UK, in a church plant I was doing there with the Assemblies of God. And, you know, sort of like in this prayer meeting, and suddenly the Spirit of God spoke to me out of the blue. Wasn't expecting it. I knew it was God. It was like, it wasn't an audible voice, but it felt that real to me. And the Lord said to me, Jesus never prayed for one sick person. And I'm like, that's not true. Of course that's not true. We all knew Jesus prayed for the sick. Jesus prayed for the sick every day. And then the Lord said to me again, he said, my people, my church, pray for the sick all the time. And that's why they don't see answers. They're not doing what Jesus did, and they're not doing what Jesus told them to do. And I literally remember, I'm in this hour-long prayer meeting, speed reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, trying to disprove God or the Spirit of God. I'm trying to get the copyright. And I went through every instance of individual healing, and every instance of corporate, you know, multitudes came and he healed them all. He doesn't mention prayer once. He never prayed. What? And Jesus prayed every day, but he didn't pray for the sick once in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then I started through Acts. They never prayed for the sick once. Now, again, before somebody writes to me, there is one reference to healing in the whole, healing and prayer in the whole of the New Testament in James 5, verse 14. It says, you know, call the elders and the elders will pray the prayer of faith and the Lord will raise him up. Now, I'll come to that one in a moment, but I think the issue we've got to get is Jesus wasn't going in effect saying, dear Father, would you please come and heal this person. What Jesus was doing, Jesus ministered as a son of man, not the son of God. He was the son of God, and he is the son of God, and he always will be the son of God. But he didn't minister as the son of God. He ministered as the son of man, anointed by the Holy Spirit, using the authority of God. Yeah? And in a way, the reason I say that is everything Jesus did, we could also. We should walk even as he walked. He said, as the Father sent me in John 20, so I send you. He taught the disciples how to operate as he did. And then he said, go into all, every nation, teaching them to do all the things I've taught you to do, Matthew 28. So Jesus never spoke, Jesus never prayed for God, for the Father to heal sick. What he did is spoke to sickness. He spoke to demons. He'd lay hands on people. He would command, he'd say, stretch forth your withered hand. Go show yourself to the priest. Arise and walk. Be made whole. So Jesus never prayed, he healed. And that's what we're called to do. Now, before somebody asks me, I'm way over 3 minutes, I'm sure, but James 5 actually speaks about several categories of people who are weak in their faith, and in effect, people who are struggling to receive from God the things that God has already provided for him. So in a way, James says if somebody's living in condemnation, they can come and confess their sins and you can pray for them that God will forgive their sins. Now, James isn't saying go to confession and a pastor or a priest can forgive your sins. I think what he's really saying is an elder or a mature one can come aside and help somebody to step into the forgiveness that God has for them if they're not able to do it for themselves. And this is a place where I am an elder in the body of Christ. I'm a pastor, a minister. I can come and pray and help you step into the healing that is yours. But to be honest, if you're going to keep that healing, you've got to grow your own faith for yourself. Selah. It's a really important point there. So my encouragement to you would be this. Actually, here's what I did all those years ago. I read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I realized Jesus didn't pray for the sick, but then I said, well, how did he minister? And I actually went and learned how he did those things. Boom. Hey, my last question today is, how can we see more answered prayer? And it's a really great question. Let me try and do this one in 3 minutes. Number one, let go of your baggage. So often we're carrying around like the carcass, the memories, the emotional baggage of what didn't happen. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The problem is, if you pray with a sick heart, you're probably going to get a sick answer. You're probably not going to get the answer you're looking for. And I think it's really vital that we let go. And it's okay if you say, I don't know why this happened, but don't stop blaming God and don't start accusing God. Romans 3 verse 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. And God has never failed you once. So let go of your baggage. And what I would encourage you to do is come back to a place of simplicity. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 10, and he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I fear that in the same way that Satan literally talks about being seduced Eve, he says, I'm fearful that your minds would be corrupted and removed from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 23, the simple person believes every word he hears. Now, of course, there's a bad sense in which a simpleton, a fool, an idiot, oh, he just believes everything he hears. But there's also a glorious place of simplicity that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I would suggest to you, the goal, in a sense, is not to have this great super-duper superhero faith. The goal is to come back to a simplistic faith that simply says that God said it, that settles it for me. That's all I need. And I think if we'll pray more prayers of simple faith and be rejoicing and telling the stories, and if we will be with the household of faith, be in a church that preaches and teaches faith, hang out with people who are ministering the life and faith of God every day, if we'll nurture ourselves in that context, we'll see more and more answers to prayer. I see more and more every day. A great book I'd recommend, and I'll finish with that, is The Two Kinds of Faith by E.W. Kenyon. Absolutely life-changing book. It really was to me, and I believe it would be so to you also. Boom. Guys, thanks for watching. Pray that's been a blessing to you. Again, if you are on our YouTube channel, want to hit the subscribe button down there. Check out all of the links, sign up for our email newsletter, and love to connect with you soon. Thanks again to all of the partners of Graham Jones Ministries. What are our partners? Partners are those who, in a way, come alongside our ministry. I think we should all be committed to a church and be involved there, but we should all be committed to people who are translocal in ministry as well. And partners are those who travel with me at times, who send me, who pray, who finance, who the army of intercessors. So there is details on how to become a partner on my website. I really encourage you to pray about doing that. And have a great week. I have lots of different videos coming out. I've got a new one on righteousness coming out later today. So blessings as you walk with the King of Kings. Bye for now.